So we're up to page 35, Perek Revi in Kuntzah Chesed. And I guess just a review from last week, Amrav Dessler, he suggests that really the roots of all good and evil actions come from really two internal drives in a person. One is the drive to take, one is the drive to give. Everybody is either a nosin or notel, a giver or a taker. He says that ultimately, deep down within, there's no balance, it's either one or the other, and we have to kind of define ourselves as which category we fit into. If you're a giver, then all good comes from that midah. If you're a taker, then all bad comes from that midah. We spoke about how there's a thing called giving in order to take, and taking in order to give. If I give something to somebody because I'm looking for something in return, so really I'm taking. If I take something because I want to make someone feel good, then I'm giving. I can run a store and do my best for my customers to help them get the best quality products, like the Chafetz Chaim, and make sure that everybody is happy and succeeds, the prices are fair, then my store is a mechanism of giving. Or I can run a business which is trying to cut out the competition, raise the prices as high as they can go, cheat my customers, then that is taking. We find that over and over again, how every action in life could be defined as a giving or taking action. We need to be sure that we fall into the giving category. So Dessler is going to elaborate a lot on the idea of giving and chesed, and really this is the shorosh of so much in our lives. So let's look at page 35 on the bottom, Perek Revi, b'shorosh ahava. There's a very famous concept of Rav Dessler. We've probably heard the idea before, but now we're going to see it inside and elaborate upon it. He talks about where love comes from. What's the shorosh of all love? He says the following. So every human being has at least a little spark of giving. I mean, nobody in this world is a total taker. Every human has some drive to give. We find this, that people are unhappy when they're alone. It's human nature. You have to have some companionship. Somebody who is totally alone is not happy. We find that everybody has this yearning towards friendship, towards companionship. What's the most difficult punishment in prison? Solitary confinement, he says. So why is that? It's not necessarily because the conditions are worse. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. It's because you're alone. Everybody needs someone to interact with. It's human nature. So what is this drive to connect to others? Why do we have this yearning? It's the spark of the koch hanasina, of the koch to give. So it's interesting, because if we thought about it, we might have thought that the idea here is that I want to have somebody that I can gain from, to take from. Maybe solitary confinement is so bad because there's nobody I can actually enjoy, benefit from. Maybe someone who's alone is not happy because there's nobody to give to them. But if that's what's saying, that's not the idea. Really, the internal drive in a person to give is what pushes you to want to have companionship and to reach out to friends and to family and to others. And solitary confinement, or somebody who's very, very lonely, they're unhappy because there's nobody to give to. It's a very interesting take on the matter. He's going to explain more about it, but it's a very interesting way to look at it. Kol adam yisav lebanim. It's very natural that people should desire children. V'yesh b'zeh shtei bechinos. And there are two different aspects of this. So why do people desire children? So we can say it's you know, Hashem programmed it into the world so the world could continue on, which is true. Animals also desire to reproduce. But there's something deeper there as well. So there is, on the one hand, there is this just there is this instinct that we want to carry on the human race. Again, animals have the same instinct. But there's a deeper idea here. So he says there's two different aspects to wanting children. Aleph, ki yargish es banav shiye kehemshich latzmuso, la'achar shipar me'olamo. So number one, a person wants to have children, they'll carry on, you know, their legacy, their essence, after they die. So you feel that it makes you eternal, it makes you carry on. But also there's an idea that we have to have someone in life that we can love and we can give to. I mean, there's an idea of yearning for children that I want somebody to be able to give to, not to take from. I mean, the baby's not giving you anything besides maybe a smile at times, but you want to give to that child. Okay, and then in Rowan Beholchim Aririm, we find people who unfortunately are childless. There's this drive to adopt, because they want to have children. So even those, you know, so for Jews we have religious motivation to have children or to adopt children. But even amongst Goyim, many people who can't have children will adopt because there's this drive in a person, I want to be able to give to others. It's a natural drive. And we find people in the world that people can be very unhappy or depressed, and they find a cause to give to volunteer for, or a person to help out. It makes them feel so much better and fulfilled because it's natural in a person to want to give. Some people, a dog does the trick, so they don't adopt a child, but they have a pet. But why do they do that? What's the idea of a pet? So the idea of a pet also is an object to give to. I mean, a pet could be fun. You could play with your dog. You think it's cute. Ultimately, it's another thing in your life that you have to support. That you have to care for, and that's fulfilling for a person. It's an interesting thing. And there are people out there who do as good to their pets as they would to children. So this itself is a sign that the koach hanasina, this drive to give, is natural in a human being. So everyone's looking for somebody to give to, and when you don't want to give to, you feel down, depressed, and people, you know, they look for, so it could be a cause, it could be a dog, it could be a child, it could be a spouse, it could be anybody, it could be a friend, but you're looking for someone to give to because that makes you feel good, because that's who you are, that's the essence of a human being. It's a very, 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 there's a very interesting idea from Chaim Shmuel Levitz, Sirat Sichos Musar. Chazal have a whole list of people that are Chashiv Kames. They're considered as if they're dead. Now, these are people who are alive and well. Like the examples are, it says someone has saras, is chashiv kames. It says, you know, we had in the parsha a few weeks ago, it says that Paro died. So one pshat in Paro dying was that he got saras, and he was bathing in Jewish blood, is what Rashi explains. But he was called dead because he got saras. We find that somebody who's poor is nechshav kames. The Chazal have a whole list of examples who are Nechshev Kames. So Chaim Shmuel Levitz says, what's the common denominator? All people on this list, what do they have in common? Somebody who's blind, for instance, it says Nechshev Kames. So why is this? So he says that the ability to give is the core of a person. You know, we get chiyus, we get our energy, we feel alive by giving to others. Everybody in this list is limited in their ability to give. Someone who has saras, they have to leave the community. They have to be outside the city, so they can't interact with people. So they're as if they're dead. Somebody who's poor, they have limited resources, so they can't give as much as they'd like to. They're considered as if they're dead. Someone who's blind, who can't recognize others and see and sense them, so that you can't give to others if you're blind. And the other example is someone without children, because they don't have that object to give to. They don't have the person to give to. So you can people then find ways to give, and that brings them that chiyus. But Chazal have this common denominator in that there is this concept that if we have no one to give to, we do feel we're not complete. No, we're lacking as people, and we always, that's why in life we do search for others to give to. So he says, "Kan shela yafa medes lefaneinu." So there's a really good question based on this. Heina ava venasina bos kachas. We know that giving and love come together. I mean, those who we love, we give to, and that's natural. You know, part of loving someone is caring for them. So this is Rav Dessler's very famous point. And the way he poses the question is the following. Is the giving a result of the love, or is the love a result of the giving? So I'm sure many have heard the famous concept that, it's from Rav Dessler, that if you want to develop love, you give. Giving develops the love. And the reason, it's not that the love leads to giving, it's the giving leads to love. So he'll elaborate on this much more. The Hebrew word for love, ahava, the word is, in that word is hav. Hav means to give. Because giving to someone else, that creates a love between them. So he explains it. So we are accustomed to thinking that giving is a result of love. Those who I love, I give to. That's the typical understanding out there. That's the conventional understanding of love and giving. Kilasher yeva adam yetivlo. Whoever a person loves, so he gives to him. Avosvara shniyahi. But the other rationale, the other understanding would be the following: kiyeva adam es pri maisav. A person loves the result of their own personal labors. Why? Bergisho asher chilk minatz miyuso behemhu. Because you see a part of yourself in your work. I mean, if somebody works very hard and produces something, you're an artist, and you produce a very, very beautiful picture. So you feel a connection to that picture. You have a, I don't know, the love for it might be a strong word, but you feel very, very connected to the picture. Because there's part of me is in that picture. I have given of myself to create this picture. Somebody works hard at a job, built up a business. So the business is to make money, but there is a personal connection. There's this emotional connection to the business. Why? Because I've put myself into it. This is me. This is who I am. Now, my mother owned a business for about, I guess, 25 years or something. She sold, I think, in 2001. It was like imitations, you know, candy, party supplies. So Baruch Hashem is successful. She did very well. She sold it. And then the guy who purchased it basically didn't run it well. Went out of business a few years later. So I remember asking my mother once, like, you know, how did she feel about it? I mean, she made her money. Like, she sold it. So she made the money in selling the business. And then it closed afterwards. But she said, like, you know, it's like your life's work. It was just like thrown in the garbage. Like, you know, she walked away with the money for the business afterwards. But you put yourself into it. And if some other guy, like, runs it down into the ground, you feel that you've lost something of what you put into the business. I remember she had that feeling. So there is this feeling, what you work, what you give to, what you work hard, what, when you devote yourself to something or someone, so part of yourself is in that person, or in that business, or in that item. So he explains further, in Ben Yehiyah, so let's say it's a child, Asher Yolad Imo, that you gave birth to or you raised. It could be an adopted child, it could be a biological child. Ochai Asher Gidol, or even an animal, a dog, a pet dog that you raised. So both of them, obviously on different levels, but you give of yourself towards that child, or I guess lahabdil, towards that dog or cat. Even a plant. People work hard on raising plants in their homes. They water it, they give it sunlight, they prune it, and they feel there's like this emotional connection to the plant. If the plant just dies one day, you feel a little sad about it. You feel like something's been lost of yourself. Even an inanimate object. People have possessions. Someone cares very much for their home, or for their car. So it's hard to say it's a love 100%, but there's a part of yourself invested into that object. So you are very, very attached to the work of your hands, with ava, with love. What's the reason? Because you find yourself in that item. Because you've put yourself into the item, you find yourself there. And I even have a source for this in Chazal. It's a medrash. It says in Maseches Derech Eretz Zuta, which we view kind of like medrashim. In Chafetz Atol Idabek Ba'avas Chaverecha. Very, very interesting statement. If you desire to cling to the love of your friends, I mean, you want to develop a loving relationship, have you no say v'no say mitzvaso. You should do your best to do good for that person. And that will create a loving relationship. So it's not about, you can't develop love otherwise. It's not about you taking from it, it's you giving to it. And when you give into the relationship, you develop that love. So it's a fascinating description across the spectrum. It could go to the intensity of parent and child, or husband and wife, or it could go even to just, you know, caring for your car, or for your house, or for your, you know, for your plants.
Teacher and students.
Yeah, we feel we care for our students. We put into our students, and you care for them. So it really goes across the spectrum. But the idea is that I see that part of myself has been invested into this item or this person, and therefore that makes this kesher, this very deep relationship. And the more you invest in a person, the deeper you feel that connection. This is why I think, you know, parent and child, husband and wife are the deepest connection, because they put so much into each other. It's a bond which is unbreakable, because you put everything into each other. Siblings don't put everything into each other, so they have a love, but it's not quite as intense as a parent-child or a spouse, because siblings, you don't put everything into your sibling necessarily.
We have a love-hate relationship.
Yeah, we have that too.
Love each other underneath.
Right, yeah, for sure, for sure. So it's important thing, we'll discuss it more. It's a tool. I mean, if you want to develop a relationship, you know, I tell the Bachur Yeshiva all the time, you know, a guy talks to me about, you know, he's dating someone. He said, I really like her, but I don't feel quite yet, you know, a connection. So you don't need such a connection before you get married necessarily. But one idea is always try to give her something. You know, if you already know a little bit about her, so if you know there's a food she likes, you know, there's something you spoke about on a date once, give her a present, give her something. Because when you give, it helps move along the relationship. it's a very important tool for us to always use, because we know it's not, we can't, taking doesn't make love, giving makes love. He says further, so this is this love which is created is very deep. And because we can see this in the Torah. Says your parenthetical point, but important point. If you want to learn about psychology, about the way a person thinks, the best source for it is the Torah. Because only Hashem, who created the inner consciousness of a person, knows how it works. So the psychology books eventually catch up to Torah. You find time and time again that concepts we've had in Torah for thousands of years, psychology books are just kind of coming around to right now. I always hear examples of this. But it's because Hashem knows the person, human being, the best. Hashem made the human being. So if you made the human being, you understand how the human being works. So what does the Torah say? So the Torah has a parsha, which again seems to be irrelevant, but we'll explain why it's relevant. There's a halacha, it's brought down, I think, in the parsha Shoftim. It says that when the Jews are going out to war, so they'd have this Kohen get up in front of the entire army, and he would send home some people from the battlefront to go back home. Who are these people? So you make announcements. If you just built a house and never dedicated the house, so you should go home. If you just planted a vineyard, but you didn't yet get a chance to redeem the fruits and eat the fruits, so you should go back home and take care of your vineyard. If you just got married, you just did Ereson. So Ereson is the first step. You know, it's the halachic engagement, not engagement like we call it, but it's the first step of marriage for Nisuin. But you didn't yet do Nisuin, so go back home and complete your marriage. So we're comparing over here. So why they go from war is a different discussion. That's not our point right now. But they're all being compared. In the same breath as saying, if you just built a new house, just planted a vineyard, we also say if you just got married. It's all in the same breath, in the same announcement, the same discussion. Like, why would that be? They say, in our minds, these are very different activities. I'm skipping a few lines here, I just sent them outside. So the Kohen gets up and he announces everyone who should go home from the war. Blihefresh, and there's no distinction made between planting a vineyard, building a house, or marrying a woman. They're all connected. Why? Because the way that we view the production of our hands, the fruits of our labor, so they're all looked at similar to marriage. Because why? Because there's an ava there. There's an ava between a person who puts his life or puts his money into building a new house, so he has a connection to that house. Someone invests his time and energy into planting a new vineyard, so he has a connection to the vineyard. And then someone who gets married has a connection to his spouse, or her spouse. But the idea being that they're all equated in the Torah. Why? Because they share one common thread, which is I've invested part of myself into this item or this person, and therefore the Torah says you don't have to risk your life at war right now. Go home and finish up the project before you have to go out to fight the war. So what's our point? So for sure the common thread over here is all coming from the fact that there's giving involved. Because you've given to a person or given of yourself, that creates a love. So that's the description. Reisi Maisa, he says, I once saw an actual story occur. I think it means that he read it, but I think it means. So there was these two young parents, and they were totally devoted to a young child. But there was an emergency time, there was a war. So everybody had to flee from the battlefront. So there's a young family, two young parents, and a young child, and they had to flee from the battlefront. The Yikar HaMikra, so as they were fleeing from the battle, it happened. Asher Oivim Mifrido Ben Advekim, the two enemy armies separated the family. Vavim Beno Nishru Tzarecha, so one side was the father and son. Ve'em Tzashini, the mother's on the other side. So they got divided at war. Ve'ko Nifrido, and they stayed separate. Ve'gonam Ve'gaguehem, you know, it was terrible. They were in anguish. They had yearning to reconnect, obviously, with their family. Kamashem, this happened for many, many years. I mean, you can imagine, like, you know, East Germany, West Germany or something, East Berlin, West Berlin, something like that. I don't know the exact situation he's speaking about. But the family got split, and they remained that way for many years. Adasher Shakta Melchama, until finally the war ended, V'Hashalom Shav Mekoma, and peace returned. V'Svadu Yachta Ben Mishpacha Kula V'Yismichu Ish Breyu Me'od. So they all got together, and they all rejoiced and reconnected. But now what happened to the relationship? I mean, the father was with this son for several years on their own, and the mother stayed separate. Vine Pella, so it was an amazing thing. They couldn't make up for the lost time. The love of the father and son was much deeper than the mother and the son. She left the child when he was young, and now when she came back, he was already older. And it was like a different person now. I mean, she left the child, I don't know, when he was 4, or now he was 10. I don't know the ages over here. But it was like a different human being. So she still yearned for the little son that she left behind. I mean, she'd missed so much time. The child that she was yearning for didn't seem to be this child. This child was a different person. This is all in her imagination. Where does this come from? I mean, why does she not feel connected? This child that she loved so much when he was so little. Why did the mother lose that sense of connection to the child? So justice says it's very simple. Because what happened? For all those years, the father raised the child. The father gave everything to the child. But she didn't get that opportunity. Unfortunately, she was isolated, and she couldn't give to the child all those years. Bishavil of Bimkoma. So the father took the place of the mother as well. So the deep love of mother to the child, which comes from all that giving which is done, the mother didn't get to do. Avar kula elav, it all went to the father. So because the father played the role of giving to the extent of a mother, the love of the father and the child was very, very deep. And this mother, she was, you know, as much as she still had feelings towards her child, she didn't have that deep connection. It wasn't there. So it's, but what's he trying to show from this? We see that it's not just the natural bond of mother and child that creates the love. It's that relationship of giving and giving and giving that a mother does for a child. And those years and years of being totally dedicated giving to a child create that deep love and relationship. And when she lost out on those years, that love wasn't there in the same way. It's a tragic story, but it brings out this point. So the Chazal tells us the following. There's a very fascinating Gemara. There's a mitzvah to help someone unload their donkey. There's a mitzvah also to help someone load their donkey. So you have people out there with their donkeys loaded up with stuff. Right? So if someone has a donkey to load, and someone has one not to unload. So which one do you do first? Do you help load first or unload first? So the usual halacha is you unload first because sar bal chayim, the donkey who has the load on his back is, you know, in distress. He's tired from heavy load. So unload the donkey first and then help load the other donkey. That's the usual halacha. But there's an exception to this. The exception is, let's say that you have a friend who has a donkey to unload and an enemy who has a donkey to load. So what do you do first? So we would think, well, you should unload the donkey first because sar bal chayim. But the Gemara says no. You should actually load your enemy's donkey first before you unload your friend's donkey. Why is that? Gemara says because lakufas yitzro, because you want to be able to drive or to conquer the Yitzhara. You want to conquer Yitzhara. Yitzhara says, "I hate this guy. I can't stand him. You know, I'm not gonna help that at all." Blah, 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 blah. So instead of going ahead and relieving the donkey over there, your friend's donkey, of his pain, you should go and dafka, go ahead and help your enemy load up their donkey. Now, what's the idea there? V'alpi shebeprika moneh gam tzar bal chayim. And even though unloading your friend's donkey is not just helping your friend, but also relieving tzar bal chayim, which is the raisa, v'kolakom hidalokom zitzro adif, but still, conquering the tzahara is better. V'shinim mazeh. So how is that going to work? I mean, just because I loaded my enemy's donkey, what's that going to do for my relationship with him? Meaning, on the one hand, you can just say, well, the Yitzhahara is telling you, don't do that mitzvah. So we go ahead and we like rush the mitzvah first. I mean, there's a mitzvah to load a donkey. So maybe the Yitzhahara tells me, don't do it to that guy, he's your enemy, and just run away. But there's a mitzvah to do it. But there's a deeper point here. There's a further accomplishment in helping load your enemy's donkey. What's that accomplishment? Gamhu atzmo Gam ki kibetiva lasono, because when you do good for your enemy, gam hu asma tistalaka sina milibo. That's going to itself ease the hatred. Tikanes tachtea avas no sina makabu memenu. And the love of giving will actually creep into the relationship. I mean, when you're giving to somebody, it's very hard to hate them, because giving allows you to feel the connection. And this is another tool in life. If we have somebody that the relationship is not so good towards, one of the greatest tools in mending the relationship is giving to the person. Now you have to overcome in that situation your own personal arrogance and your own personal anger and your own personal feelings towards the person, because it's kind of awkward to go, someone you have like a fight with, to go and help them out is kind of awkward. On the other hand, helping that person out actually could create a bond and mend the relationship much better than just sitting down and having a talk or things like that. Because when you give to somebody, that creates a love. So Chazal, in their wisdom, are saying that you should definitely go ahead, forget the donkey with the load on it, forget your friend, go to the enemy and load up the enemy's donkey. Why? Because that's going to actually help to mend the relationship. That's going to create a love. And if you focused on this, if your eyes are open, you'll see this all the time at work. This is it's a common tool to helping to mend relationships and create bonds all the time. And it's something, again, it's hard to over, if you really have a fight with somebody, it's hard to overcome that and just go and like do them favors. But we have to overcome our own personal arrogance, our own personal anger inside. But if you do, you'll see how much it helps to mend the relationship and to ease the issue. So Chazal tell us, go help load your enemy's donkey first, because that's going to actually conquer the Yetzirah. But they're using the mechanism of giving to create bonds and to overcome anger. That's the mechanism they're using. So Klal Shel Davar, Zeh Sheyiten Adam Lezulaso Lo Yovav Imenu. Whatever you give to somebody else is not lost. Elazuhi hispashtus atzmuso. This is rather spreading yourself out to another. Ki yargish asher gam chelik lo bechavero zeh shenosan lo. Because you see that you have a portion in the person. You're investing in this person now. Zuhi advekus shebein adam lezulaso asher nikra lo b'shem avas. This is ava. So you want to define what is love. It's not what we usually think in American culture for sure. Ava means that it's somebody that I've been giving to and therefore I feel connected with. That's what Ava actually is. He's going to speak about more, but often the tension in relationships comes because when we become takers, that's where we start having complaints and issues and tension. But as long as we're there to be givers, then everything usually works very smoothly. Being a giver is what creates the Ava. If you give, that makes Ahava, that makes love. Next, look at the next parak, Parak Hamishi. So we have a mitzvah in the Torah, V'ahavta l'racha kamocha. So the mitzvah of loving your neighbor as yourself, this is one of the primary mitzvahs in the Torah. This is the roots of al benam l'chaveru. It's the idea of avas yisrael. You're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. So we're going to understand this mitzvah a little bit more. His barber here, Parak Kodem. So we already explained in the previous parak, Yilcho adam yesh nitzos kocha nesina. So every person has within themselves a spark of the koach hanesina, of this force of giving. Everyone deep down has a spark of being a giver. V'zeh, kol nitna rishos l'koach hanetilo l'vatos gamas hanitzos hazeh. Because even though people have a very strong drive to take, we know in life plenty of people who are very selfish and very big takers, Hashem doesn't allow that the koach of netila can totally overcome koach hanesina. You can't have it that way. Why? Because if not for having a little bit of a spark of nesina within ourselves, of giving, the world would be destroyed. The world couldn't function. If everybody in the world was just a giver, excuse me, was just a taker, then we would swallow each other alive. Then we'd be in big trouble. People would not get married, people wouldn't have children, because those require a lot of giving. We know in modern times there are people out there who are no longer into the idea of marriage and children. And he'll talk about that a little bit more later on. But that's something which has come up. I think it's more rampant nowadays than ever was historically, from my knowledge, that the people out there who just think marriage and children aren't so important to them, and just decide not to even pursue the idea of marriage or children. Obviously, it's not the Torah perspective. But the idea in general is that if the world didn't have within it some drive to give in every single person, then no one bother getting married or having children, because that requires lots of giving, and I'd rather be a taker. Al kein gazer shem isbarach ki nitzot zele parim bin adam lolamim. So Hashem decreed that this spark of giving never leaves a person. Everybody has that little spark. Ulam yan kim at ma'odhu inyan hasina shabem. But yet, it can be very, very small. There can be a tiny little kernel inside of being a giver, and people can become mostly takers. Al kein yivcharu ba'asher yimsu chen b'neihem. Lahem yetnu ve'tivu. So people then will choose to whom they should give. Vosam yahavu. And they'll love those people. As eli achshu ki'ilu shelahem hema. And those people become kind of like part of themselves. Mishpachtam, krovehem, re'ehem, chavrehem. So that's your family, that's your relatives, and that's your close friends. Meaning, part of us says, I'll be a giver, but just those people who I like. You know, I'll give to my close family, I'll give to my few friends, but beyond that, no giving. Beyond that, it's all about me. And that's something which is common, you know, within people. And that, but that itself is sort of a sense of being a very limited giver. Because I just give to those people who I feel very comfortable with. And that's it. And I draw the line. Achas Asher B'nei Adam, but anybody beyond my circle of family and friends, L'nachrim Azarim Yachshovu. I see them as strangers. I see them as, you know, as outsiders. You work with them, you act with them just as takers. You compete with them. You take from them as much as you can. I mean, you think about it, and this is not an uncommon thing. People, most people in their own family and social circles do give. You know, everyone, even the toughest, meanest, you know, murderer, you know, rapist, whoever, he loves his mother. He cares for his mother, you know? And you think of talking about, like, descriptions you have of, like, you know, the mafia, how within the family, it's all about love and caring for one another, even though they go out and they'll kill everyone else and steal all their money. But within the actual family, everybody's loved and cared for. Right? So this is something, it's common amongst people. That even, forget murderers and mafia, but even amongst people, you know, we're very eager and we're very, you know, we're very likely to give to our close circles. When it comes to somebody beyond that circle, we're not such givers anymore. At that point, you know, we're ready to take, not to give. And the question is, how do we expand out, you know, our circle of giving to all of Klal Yisrael? V'ahavta l'rachah kamocha is a mitzvah to love every Jew. It's not just to love your close family and friends. So we want to be able to expand that circle out to everybody. How do we become givers to that extent? How do we do that? Achis b'rna adam, we have to think. Ki l'asher yitein yehav, we know there's this yesod, that to whoever you give, you develop a love. V'gam yelo chilpo, because you have a portion of that person. Again, you've invested yourself in that person. V'davik love, you cling to him. Kamor, as we said. As yavchin v'yavin ki zesher zar nechshav lo. So really, you can think about the following point. Someone who you view as a stranger. Hurak asher terem nosel. It's because you haven't given to him yet. That's why he's a stranger. I mean, why is that neighbor, or is that person in Klal Yisrael, or that distant relative to me, like, so far off, and I don't feel any connection? It's because I haven't yet taken advantage of giving to that person. If I did, then I feel a connection. And then we think about it. Let's say we give tzedakah in ways that reaches all parts of Klal Yisrael. So that helps you feel connected to Klal Yisrael. My money is being invested in people, not just in my neighborhood, not just my family, but, you know, people in Eretz Yisrael. So you feel a connection. The more you give, the more connected you feel. But you feel that connection. It's there. Why? Because I gave. If I just heard about them, I never gave anything, I don't feel the same connection. Because I didn't yet take advantage of this idea of giving in order to develop a love. But the more you give to others, the more love is there. V'im yaskol nal heitiv es kol asher yimsa. If you start doing good to everybody that you find, now you'll feel that everybody is your relative. Everyone becomes part of the mishpacha. Because you've given to everybody, you feel connected to everybody. Everyone is beloved to you because you have a part of yourself and everybody else. It's a beautiful idea. Now, often we meet people and we say they're so full of love and they're always there and helping out others and giving. So in our minds, we think these people naturally must love everybody, and that's why they're such givers. But the answer is no. They've become givers, and that's why they love everybody. You know, those people in shul who just, like, do everything, you know? And every time you see them, they're just happy to help everybody out, do every single job there. And they, so you think of there's naturally people who just are happy and loving, but it's the other way around. It could be because they pushed themselves to be such givers, they became loving. Because that's the process. The process is not love and then giving, it's giving and then love. So if you want to love Klal Yisrael, how do you get to that point? The more you give to Klal Yisrael, the more you love Klal Yisrael, if you're doing it as a giver. Now, if you're doing it just because you want to be given kavod, you want to be honored, so then you're really taking, you're not giving. It doesn't make a love. If you have a millionaire, and he gives, you know, millions of tzedakah, but it's because he likes seeing his name on the side of the building. So you can argue that's actually taking and not giving, and that's not making you love. It's still a nice mitzvah, but it's not developing a love between him and Klal Yisrael. But someone who's just a devoted giver, I'm here to give, because giving is important. So then, that person is developing a true Avos Yisrael because he's giving himself to Klal Yisrael. That's what he's doing. Someone is able to reach this high level of being a giver to everybody around. Now we can understand the way the Torah expresses the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael. I mean, the mitzvah is to love Klal Yisrael. But the Torah expresses in the famous words, love your neighbor as yourself. So what's the, we always get bothered by the word as yourself, kamocha. What is the Torah portraying? Love your neighbor as yourself. What's this idea as yourself? Kamocha blishum hefresh. So Rav Dalzer says, based on our yesod over here, we can explain kamocha means like yourself with no difference. Kamocha mamish, exactly like you. Why? Because if you give to the person, that person is part of yourself. That's the point. When you're invested in another human being, that means that you are in that, literally, you invested in the person. You are in the person right now. You'll see that you and this person are one. And you feel this very clear feeling that he is to you like yourself. Meaning, again, it's easy to see that with a child or a spouse. You feel like you're one because you've given so much to them. When it comes to more distant relatives or distant friends or distant Jews, you might feel a connection, but you don't feel as one. But the idea is the more you invest in people, then you become one. You can invest in Klal Yisrael and be one with Klal Yisrael. We speak about, the hallmark of Gedolei Hador. You know, what makes Gedolei Hador Gedolim? There's a lot of things about Gedolim that make him Gedolim. One thing is, obviously, they're Tamid Chachamim, they're Tzadikim. One thing I've spoken about before is they're Nava, they're very humble. But part of that being a Gedolei Hador is if we can always see that their love and care for Klal Yisrael is unbounded. It's on a different level. Their feelings of love towards other Jews are incredible. How many Gedolim have tears in their eyes over the suffering of total strangers who are amongst Klal Yisrael? The stories are abundant. How much they feel for Klal Yisrael, and how do they reach that madriga? I mean, if you think about it, let's say you take somebody who is a big Talmud Chacham. He spends most of his time, learning and speaking to people in a room. He hasn't met all of Klal Yisrael. He doesn't know what's necessarily in any personal way what's going on with Klal Yisrael. But the love for Klal Yisrael is tremendous. And where does it come from? And part of the answer is, well, because they are invested in Klal Yisrael. They spend their lives learning Torah in order to teach Klal Yisrael. They spend their lives davening on behalf of Klal Yisrael. They give of themselves for Klal Yisrael, so they love Klal Yisrael. Vadim Gadol spends 20 hours a day doing whatever he can to help out Klal Yisrael, even though he's never met, most of the Jews in the world. His love for them is unbounded because he's devoted his life to Klal Yisrael. When you devote your life to something, you love it because you put yourself into it. It's the same idea. So the Havdalah Kamocha is a mitzvah which is difficult for us. And we often try to figure out, well, how do I perform that mitzvah? I mean, loving others is hard enough. Loving them as myself, that's even harder. How do I get to a level of loving other people and even to the point of loving them as myself? And the answer still is it's not so easy, but it's giving and giving and giving. The more you're able to give. So you can give in so many ways. You can give time, you can give money, you can give tefillos. When you daven for Klal Yisrael, we say Shemona Esrei. The halacha is Shemona Esrei is said in Lashon Rabbah, it's plural. And we say it's always said in plural. So you're davening on behalf, not just of yourself, of Klal Yisrael. we don't always think about it that way, but if we think about the situation of Klal Yisrael as a whole, the troubles all Klal Yisrael is going through, the brachos all Klal Yisrael needs, and in our minds we have Klal Yisrael, so we become part of Klal Yisrael, and we develop a love for Klal Yisrael, because we're investing our emotions into Klal Yisrael. It can be invested in anything, time, energy, emotions, money, you name it. If you're invested in Klal Yisrael, then you develop a love for Klal Yisrael. You invest in a person, you have a love for that person. It's a tool at our disposal to develop love, because we struggle with it. How do I develop that relationship? And the answer is, well, let's use the tool of giving, and that will create the love. Let's a little bit further here. Avazosi pesher hudaver pella b'kochos nefesh. So now he speaks about love of husband and wife. So this idea of love is an incredible point in kochos nefesh, in the different abilities of a person. What does that mean? L'chora ha'nira ki be'emes ein tochem ha'mashi b'avazu. So if you're to look at the love of man and woman, at first you say, well, there's not any real substance to this love, meaning that essentially we know there's an attraction in man and woman, we know love develops, but essentially what's the value of that love? Where does it come from? So at first we think, well, it's no different than animals having instincts to reproduce. We think it's just Hashem's incredible plan to have the world endure. Now, if there was no drive to reproduce, then the world would cease to exist, because there wouldn't be any more humans. Animals have this drive to produce, so animals carry on. Same thing with humans. Similar to the idea that we have hunger so that we can eat. People who aren't hungry and don't eat, it's a very dangerous condition to have, because a person can die from starvation and malnutrition. So Hashem put into the nature of the human being this draw between man and woman. And we think at first, this is just Hashem's plan so the world can carry on. Because there has to be relationships with men and women so they can reproduce and have more human beings in this world. But then Rav Dessler says that can't be the full picture. We can't understand this. So it's a very interesting question to ask. Just for the sake of carrying on the world, so we would need to have a physical draw for human and woman, need to have the desire to have children, but why love? And animals, as far as we know, don't have love for one another. I mean, animals have a drive to reproduce, animals have the desire to have children, animals have a desire to mate. The idea of love doesn't exist amongst animals, at least to my knowledge. I've never heard such a thing. Animals don't have this concept of ahava. So if Hashem's goal in the connection of man and woman is just so the world can carry on, then the idea of the fact that love develops is not really part of the plan. Love is something else. It's interesting that I'm not an expert on these matters, but I know people discuss like evolution and different issues that we have with evolution. So one of the big questions is that a lot of these emotions, such as love, those don't seem to fit into the whole scheme of survival of the fittest, evolution. I mean, if you're looking at every single part of the human being developing just for the sake of, it's topless. You know, what's the goal? Whoever's going to be stronger and better is going to survive. So the fact that there is this emotion called love amongst people, it doesn't seem to necessarily fit into the rubric of survival of the fittest. But yeah, it's there. And animals do just fine without it. Animals survive even though they don't have this idea of love. Animals might protect one another because it's for their own benefit. Animals reproduce, animals mate, animals want children, but they don't have this like bond that human beings have. So if the whole goal of the love of man and woman is just to reproduce, then the whole love part doesn't seem to fit. You don't need the love. You just need the animalistic drive. That's all you need. So how do we explain this? V'shemati omrim, ki avazu, he told us hakaras hatov. So there are those who say that the love of man and woman is just a byproduct of hakaras hatov, of showing gratitude. Asher yodu hoda hadadis aldavar ezram zel zel amalis choktivam. That they want to be able to show their gratitude towards one another because they really help each other out and support each other, and therefore it helps the love. So that's a theory out there. Avotom hema, omrim kim, this is a mistake. Because you know there are plenty of people out there who are ingrateful. The world's full of ingrates. But yet they still seem to be able to love a spouse. So if the whole idea of love between man and wife is because they have gratitude towards one another, then how come all these people who are totally ingrateful people are able to sustain a marriage? Where does that come from? So that can't be it. So where does it come from? So really, where does the love come from? The love comes from the idea that they complete one another. The man and woman need each other to complete each other. So Hashem put into the nature of man and woman, like it says in the Gemara, in the Medrash, Kol she'ein lo isha, ein adam shalem. It says in the Medrash that somebody who is not married is incomplete. When the human being is alone, he or she is lacking. Because you can't fulfill your full purpose in life without a spouse. So then when they're able to give each other their completion, the man completes the woman completes the man. So it creates this love. Because when you give, you love. So that's why the love of man and woman, their entire goal should be to give to each other comfort and pleasure in life, to care for one another. So that's what's saying a very fascinating point, a very deep point. He's saying the love of man and woman, where's that coming from? We need each other to complete ourselves. But when you complete me, that's not what gives me love. It's when I complete you that gives you love. I mean, when the man gives to the woman, the woman gives to the man, that creates the love. The taking is not where it comes from, it's the giving. So being that we know we need each other, and being that I know I need to give myself to you so you can be complete, and you have to give yourself to me so I can be complete. When those two things come together, that creates Ahava. And it's a much deeper point than just the need to reproduce and to carry on the world. It's this recognition that we are one, we're each half of one, and until we complete each other, we're nothing. It's that recognition. So now we can explain the following. So why do we find so often that the love in marriage seems to dissipate? Unfortunately, there's a lot of divorces out there. And even amongst marriages, sometimes the spark of love which is there in the beginning doesn't seem to carry on all the time. Why is that? It's obvious. It's simple. Because people naturally are takers, not givers. That's who we are. So when the natural force of getting married, having children, was pushing you, so then we would give to each other and we would have love. Eventually nature sets in, and we become just takers. And we can't even tell exactly when we stopped giving and started to take. I mean, the young couple getting married, the starry-eyed couple in love, as they describe, so they're there, okay, it's going to be the best marriage ever, we're going to give to each other, we're going to love each other and care for each other, and it sounds great. And then look at them a year or two later, and it's not as great as they thought. And why is that? Because at some point, they started focusing on their own needs rather than the other's needs. And therefore, that caused the marriage to click in a different direction. And when that happened, things started getting, the love wasn't like it was before. I mean, we hope that doesn't happen, but that's something that does commonly happen. So even though in the beginning when they got married, the commitment was to be givers, they made their commitments to each other, we're going to give to each other. They became takers instead. And then each one demands of the other, what can you do for me, rather than what can I do for you? The Ksuba says, this is man to woman, but I'm going to serve you and honor you and feed you. It doesn't say anything about taking, it's all about giving. That's the Ksuba says. Marriage in a certain sense, they speak about how in America, we have a Bill of Rights. Rights are about what do I get? Not responsibilities. Responsibilities are what do I give? So if your idea is what are my rights, so then that's going to be destructive in a marriage. if the idea is what are my responsibilities, that's gonna create a love, because I said, what do I do for you? So America is all about rights, and rights are about what do I get. But responsibilities are about what are my obligations towards another, and that's really what's gonna create that bond. So how could love exist in a matzav, in a situation where each one is demanding of the other? What are you going to do for me? What are my rights over here? Why aren't you doing your job towards me? That's when marriages start having rough times. So I tell all the time couples, Zessler says, when they get married, I tell them the following. Hizaru, be very careful, Yakar, my dears. Shetamid tishafu lasbia nachas zelazel. You should always strive to give each other nachas. Kasher is targishu b'chem b'shazu, as you feel right now. I mean, right now, as you just went to the chuppah, you both feel you want to give to each other, you know, as much as possible. Keep that going. Udu'u, you should know, asher b'rega sheshchilu lidrosh, drishos samizeh, as soon as you start demanding from one another, Hine kvar ushrechem mikem v'hala. Your happiness will be gone. That's the Yisrael tells Chassan and Kala, and it's something that we have to live with our whole lives. If we demand of others, then we're not going to be happy. We're not going to have relationships. We're not going to have love. If our goal is to give to others, we're going to be happy people, and we're going to have love in our lives. V'yashna b'nei adam asher lo yachpsim nisum. But there are people out there, as we know even more so nowadays, in our time, that they don't desire to get married. Where does that come from? If we're saying it's so natural as a human being to want to have companionship and have another person and want to give, why are people out there don't want to get married? Because they are so bound by their kocha natila, the drive to take. Even the natural instinct to reach out to others can't overpower their drive to take and make them into givers, even temporarily. And this is very common in our days. The people out there who just don't value the idea of marriage, don't value the idea of children, because the way the Rav Dessler is describing it is because their drive to be takers is so powerful that they're able, even that natural spark of giving gets so squashed within. I think that's very much a result just of modern society, which because we have so much prosperity, people become very self-focused, focus on their own needs and their own pleasures, their own desires, and therefore they become, it's a society of takers, people who are no-till, and once you become a taker, it's very hard to become a giver. So if you grow up, and the first 20 years of your life, it's about taking, 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 and they say, okay, now you're married, it's about giving, 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 it's very hard to make that transition. So therefore they remain takers, and either they don't get married, or they get married, and unfortunately things can be very rocky in the marriage because they don't know how to give to each other. They're people who don't want to have children, or so many children, which is very common in our days. Because, again, it's this drive to be takers. They don't want to give even to their own children, because children require a lot of giving. So when people don't want to have children, it's because they're expressing that I don't want to have to be bound by that. That means I have to give up of my own personal pleasure for somebody else, and I don't want to deal with it. Aval kesher atov be'ish v'ishto. So how do you have a good bond of husband and wife? Kasher shnei megil milos nesdina. So when both the husband and wife have reached a great level of being givers, as avasam lotipasik. So then that love becomes permanent. V'chayim yimalo osher v'nachas. Their lives are filled with happiness. Koyim meim asher yichyu al damos. Their whole life in this world. So it, in some ways it's counterintuitive, because we think, well, if I'll be happy if I receive. If I receive love and I receive, you know, pleasure and I receive money and I receive food and I receive care, then I'm happy. But it's not true. It's not the reality. Being a taker doesn't make you happy. Being a giver makes you happy. And again, I think you see it so much in the world that people who are very, very wealthy and successful in the material world can be depressed. And what do they do at that point? They start looking for causes to help out. They want to volunteer. They want to travel off to Africa and save the whales. They want to, you know, make a foundation and give to their community. But they want to give to others because they see that sitting there in life and taking, taking, taking doesn't bring happiness. Where does happiness come from? It comes from being able to give to others. So we spoke about happiness a while back, and we spoke about how happiness comes from spirituality. But even beyond that, we said that Hashem made the world as built up on chesed. And the idea of giving, it's a spiritual rush. When you're able to give to another, that's not a physical pleasure, it's a spiritual pleasure. But that actually creates true happiness. Whereas just sitting there and taking selfishly in life doesn't create happiness. It usually creates people who are very depressed and down and isolated. And when they start giving, they become much more connected and much happier. Okay?
I think elderly people too have a need to give, but they can't as much.
Right. Right, it's true. When someone has to start taking, being cared for by others, it becomes very difficult. Yeah, correct.